This morning we're gonna do things a little bit different. Instead of a normal sermon, I want to share a couple of songs with you. Inspired. Well, one of them was inspired a long time ago, but one of them that I've written in the last couple of weeks, inspired by our text today from Galatians. And so I'm going to read the text for you, and then I'm going to have Danny share a word of witness that he was sharing with me a week ago, a little bit about their trip to Spain, and this one story that he told just seemed to hit the nail on the head in terms of I think what Paul's trying to say in this section of Galatians, at least an important part of what he's trying to say. So Danny's going to give us a word of witness, and then I'm going to share a couple of songs with some comments in between. But Danny, tell us about your experience with a new Muslim friend in Spain.
Julie's going to put up a picture of someone that you'll probably hear a little bit more about tonight. Hopefully, once again, you'll come tonight at 6 o'clock to hear my stories, Jim and Jeanette's stories, Joan and Ruth's stories, stories from friends that are coming from the church down in Carson City that went with us. But I want to tell you about this particular man. As we went throughout the port of Algeciras, this is a man that I had the opportunity to interact with. And as you can see, there's something in his hands. And what's in his hands are materials that I was able to give him that share the good news of Jesus Christ. And the questions on this man's heart are, is it hard to be a Christian? Is it hard to be a Christian? And the reason that he asks that question is because it's hard to be a Muslim. That there is this yoke of slavery on this man, a burden so hard to bear, that his initial reaction to Christianity isn't because it's something more that he wants, but because it is something that he wants out of. Because it is a yoke of law and rules for a God that is ruthless to him. An Allah that is difficult to follow. And as we went throughout the port that week, we probably had, what, friends, 10 no's for every yes, maybe 20 no's for every yes. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to count because we got so many rejections. But this is the heart of what we did. For a man whose God is too hard to follow, that in the presence of other Muslims who know that they have a God that is too hard to follow, that he would publicly read what we have given him, because he is desperate for a God who is easier to follow than his God. You're going to hear more testimonies like that tonight. But I wanted to share that with you this morning. Pastor Jay asked me to share that with you this morning just to prepare you for what he has to say to you today. Thank you.
Thanks, partner. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. This is a song that was written by a couple of teenage boys, Tim and Tom Zender, who were part of the youth group that I led down in L.A. many, many years ago. It's called Come to Me, and it's basically an expression of Jesus' words from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
So Jesus himself said, come to me if you have lots of burdens, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I don't know about you, but I hear those words, and I hear them coming from a man who said, follow me, and lived a life of sacrifice. In fact, lived a life that took him to the cross, where he was killed brutally and absolutely unjustly. And I find myself wondering, maybe you have too, when you've heard that verse before, perhaps. Your yoke is easy? Are you kidding me? The way of the cross? And you say, follow you because your yoke is easy? How can you say that? Well, I think a couple of ways that we can help ourselves to interpret what Jesus has to say, first of all, is to understand when Jesus says that his yoke is easy, I think he's speaking, on the one hand, comparatively. And I think the real deep truth that is not immediately apparent when we hear him say that is that if we think about the yoke that Jesus gives us, coming under his yoke, and of course the image is of oxen, you know, you put that yoke on a couple of oxen so they can pull the cart, and it kind of means they have to stick there, they're stuck to the cart and they have to pull, and they're under that yoke. And I think he's basically saying, look, my yoke is easier than all the other ones that are available. And we think, well, how is that? Well, the yoke that we would take upon ourselves, well, first of all, I think we kind of think of ourselves, if you want to use the ox analogy, we think of taking a yoke as being an ox who has to be under this burden, this wooden thing that kind of locks you in, as opposed to being an ox kind of wandering around the field, doing whatever he wanted, eating whatever grass was there. And that's the comparison we make. But the real truth is that we, like all people, are going to be under some sort of a yoke. We don't get to choose whether we're under a yoke or not. We're going to be under a yoke. The question is, what yoke? We can be under the yoke of what we perceive as freedom. Doing whatever I want, getting my way whenever and wherever I can. And friends, that is a horrendous burden. A burden that will kill us. Live to get what we want when we want, and we will be frustrated, and we will end up frustrated and dead. All of us are under the yoke of physical reality. We're going to die. The yoke of impending death. That's a tough yoke. We could be, as Danny has pointed out, we could be under a religious yoke. We could be under a law sort of yoke. I'm a good person. I live to show you I'm a good person. Well, how do I know that? Well, I keep the rules. Really? That is a very, very difficult yoke. Compared to all of those and many others that we could come up with, the yoke of Jesus is easy. It's a life-bringing yoke. And then, so comparatively, I think Jesus is saying it's easy compared to all the other possibilities. It's a yoke that leads to eternal life, and that's a heck of a lot easier than all the other ones that lead to eternal death. But I think also Jesus is speaking of this yoke in a relational sense, a comparative sense and a relational sense. See, when we think of putting on a yoke, we think of the person putting the yoke on us is the guy who's going to drive the cart. But Jesus isn't like that. Jesus is more like the ox pulling with us next to us. When Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, he is saying, take a yoke upon you that I will share with you. So the things that challenge us, the things that we're called to do that are difficult, the challenges in life that are hard, the valleys of the shadow of death that we have to walk through, Jesus walks through them right with us. He never calls us to do anything, to endure anything that he doesn't empower us for and walk with us through. And this makes his yoke easier than a lot of others, like the yoke of the law, because the law doesn't help you pull. The law is up in the cart just saying guilty and whipping you. But Jesus' yoke is one that he shares. He came to share our yoke, the yoke of broken humanity. It's about relationship. Four words that I'd want to share with you today. First is easy. The second is relationship. And this is getting into what Galatians is talking about. This idea of freedom in Christ. This idea of Jesus' easy yoke. It's about relationship. Jesus is with us. And this freedom that we have in Jesus is a freedom from all of those yokes that would burden us and destroy us, that'd be too heavy for us. We're freed from that, but we're also freed to something. We're freed from these life-sapping burdens, law, living for ourselves, sin, and we're freed to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that brings me to the third word, easy, relationship, ownership. You ever heard the phrase, whatever you own, owns you? You ever heard that? It's very true, isn't it? You ever seen one of those guys? We spent a couple of weeks ago, we were on vacation, we were on a boat. You see people with those t-shirts that say, a boat is a hole in the water that you pour money into? You ever seen those? Oh yeah, it's a famous saying among boat owners. Yeah, a boat is a hole in the water that you pour money into. That's just a one translation of whatever you own, owns you, right? I think it's true. All the stuff that we own us. Things that keep us awake at night because we're worried about them. Our houses, our cars. Cars overheating. Whatever we own, owns us. That is never more true than with Jesus Christ. You know those songs that talk about my Jesus? Those always kind of just bug me a little bit. You know, my Jesus. I think, he's not my Jesus. He's the Lord of the universe. But in a sense, those songs are absolutely true. In a very real sense that Jesus himself talks about, that the scriptures tell us about, you as a follower, as one who has faith in Jesus Christ, we own him. We own his benefits. As one who has put my trust in Jesus Christ, the things that he secured on the cross, he secured for me, I own them. In him, eternal life. He guarantees them. They're mine. They're yours. They're ours. But, as with all ownership, there is also the sense that insofar as the truth is I own the benefits of Christ, I am also owned by him. It's about relationship. You can't have one without the other. One way of saying that is, if Jesus is your Savior, he is also your Lord. And there's only one Jesus, and he comes with the full package. You can't have one without the other. Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and leave me alone. Let me be Lord of my own life. You just do the Savior gig. Jesus says, I don't do that. That's not me. First of all, it wouldn't be good for you. You need me to be Lord of your life. I'm a better Lord than you are. If we own his benefits, we are owned by him. And then finally, the last word is sweetness. Sweetness. See, owning the benefits of Jesus, which Galatians talks about, we own them by grace through faith, not because we keep the law. There's nothing else we need to do, and there's nothing we can do that will take away those benefits. If, in fact, we've trusted in Jesus, we are saved, we're going to heaven, it's secure in him, and the law is not our master. We don't have to be good. We didn't get in on this because we were good. We got into this because Jesus is good, because he is the God of grace, and because he has brought that truth, that faith, that eternal life to us. It's secure in him. But our verses for today say it is for freedom that we have been called, but don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. That's stupid. It's taking a yoke upon you. Remember last week we talked about the fact that you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your freedom. If you use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature, you are taking a yoke upon you that will hurt you and others around you. And we need to just have that yoke that is easy in Jesus Christ. The sweetness that we know because of Jesus, that we own because of Jesus, is a sweetness that then becomes part of our life. He says, don't indulge the sinful nature, but love one another. That's what you're called to. That you don't get the benefits of Jesus because you're a loving person. But if you have the benefits of Jesus, if you own what he has given you, you are owned by him, and you will see yourself developing into a person greater and greater, a person of love. That's a sign of the freedom that we have. It doesn't earn that freedom, but the two go together. Do you see how that works? It's not about earning our salvation, but if you're saved, if you know Jesus, if you've taken his yoke upon you, if you are loved by him and you know those benefits, those things are going to make a difference in you, and they're going to show themselves through you. And that's the way it's going to be. And that's what this song is all about, called Sweet Freedom. And our Covenant Blues Band is going to help me here. This is the truth coming straight from above. The freest people are bound to love. Out of the heat, Jesus died to save us, our salvation is complete. We don't have to be good, we won't face defeat, but it ain't real sweet freedom if it don't make you sweet. It is for freedom that Jesus set us free. Why would I now set myself back into slavery?
living by the book of righteous rules or bad ideas. I'd rather live in Jesus. Hallelujah, I am His. Ah, sweet freedom, it's so cool out of the heat. Jesus died to save us, our salvation is complete. We don't have to be good, we won't face defeat. But it ain't real sweet freedom if it don't make you sweet. I believe in Jesus, I am born again. But Jesus didn't die so I could hold on to my sin. Jesus loves me so I didn't earn it, never could. So now I love Him back by loving others like He would. Ah, sweet freedom, it's so cool out of the heat. Jesus came to save us, our salvation is complete. We don't have to be good, we won't face defeat. But it ain't real sweet freedom if it don't make you sweet. Freedom in Jesus means I am safe and sound. On the freedom train to glory, I am heaven bound. But look at my life, something's happening to me. I'm looking more and more like someone Jesus has set free. Ah, sweet freedom, it's so cool out of the heat. Jesus came to save us, our salvation is complete. We don't have to be good, we won't face defeat. But it ain't real sweet freedom if it don't make you sweet. Here is the truth, and it's good to repeat. It ain't real sweet freedom if it don't make you sweet. It ain't real sweet freedom if it don't make you sweet. It ain't real sweet freedom if it don't make you sweet. This is the truth, coming straight from above. The freest people are bound to love.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for this chance once again to be together with You and with one another and to worship You in spirit and in truth. Lord, I thank You for the word for us today from Paul, from You, Lord Jesus, that there is freedom in You. Real freedom. Lord, a freedom that binds us to You. And though for us in our broken state, that seems like a paradox. Lord, I pray for me first and for the rest of us too, that You would break us of this crazy notion that real freedom means me being able to do whatever I want. Lord, it's silly to put that much confidence in myself to even know what is good, what is right, what is healthy, what's going to bring me joy. I've been wrong so many times, and You've been right every time. Lord, I pray for each of us that You would help us to live into that freedom. The real freedom. Freedom, knowing that we are heaven-bound and there is nothing that can derail that train. And so a freedom that is found in Your love, that is dynamic, that changes what it touches. Lord, I thank You that it is changing me and changing us. We pray these things in Your name and for Your sake. Amen.